Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Pharmacy Interoperability and Emerging Therapeutics Task Force. On behalf of ONC, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank each of the task force members for dedicating your time, expertise, and enthusiasm to develop thoughtful recommendations for this important work. This task force meeting is open to the public, and your comments are welcome in Zoom chat throughout the meeting or during the public comment period that is going to be held around 11:50 Eastern Time. I'd like to begin roll call of our task force members, so when I call your name, please let us know if you are here. And I'll start with our co-chairs, Hans Botendijk.
Good morning.
Kelly Spira.
Good morning, everyone.
Pooja Babra.
Good morning, I'm here.
Chris Blackley. Sila Blend. David Butler.
Good morning.
Steve Eichner.
Good morning.
Raj Gavarti.
Good morning.
Jim Jurgis is not able to join us today. Summer Kalan.
Hey, good morning.
Stephen Lane.
Good morning.
Meg Marshall. Anna McAllister.
Good morning.
Devin McGraw is not able to join us. Keaton Mehta. Justin Neal. Elia Oliveira.
Good morning.
Narish Thunderbrajan.
Good morning.
Scott Robertson.
Good morning.
Alexis Snyder.
Good morning.
Bill Sutherland.
Good morning.
Christian Tadras.
Good morning.
Carol Turney.
Good morning.
And Afton Wagner.
Good morning.
Thank you so much, everyone. And now please join me in welcoming Hans and Shelley for their opening remarks.
Good morning, everybody. Really appreciate getting ourselves very close to the finish line, which will be today's focus to get us there to finalize any edits, any gaps that still might be missing, so that between now and next week, we can wrap up the document and present it, get it to the full HITECH committee for their review. So I think we are at a great point here looking forward to going through that today with everybody. And really appreciate everybody's feedback, comments, review, suggestions. We're still going back and forth on a couple of them, but it looks like that we should be able to close that today. So thank you very much. Shelley.
Yes, I hope everybody liked the new format and moving away from the spreadsheet. Really glad that we were able to do that. We've got lots of comments that came in. Just want to thank Hans. Hans has just done a great job of going through all the comments and trying to restructure the recommendation. So we definitely owe him a big thanks for all of his hard work that he's done. Also want to thank the ONC team, Mike and Tricia Lee, and the folks from myself who are doing all the work. I'm sorry, Maggie too, who are doing all the work for us. So thank you very much. And I think we can get going now. We're right on schedule to move forward with the review of the draft recommendation report. So I'm going to turn it over to Hans to get us started.
All right, and let's see, since we're now in Google Docs, which means that when edits are made, one can see them immediately popping up as well. I think either somebody from the ONC team might be able to share the screen and while I'm going to be applying some edits and other thoughts there. But if it's correct, if you can go to the top of the page, the plan is to just go from top to bottom, see where we still have open comments or highlights on what changed, make sure that that we're all okay. And in the process, I'm going to be, and it might be back and forth between Tricia Lee and myself, that we are going to then apply the updates, accept the comments, make some notes in there. But that's not a nice part, unlike spreadsheets where that could conflict. Now we can actually see what we're all doing at the same time. So when we scroll down, we see that the background has been added. Thank you, Tricia Lee. Have a look through that. Don't need to do that right now. It's really down to just some fine tuning there, but that has been added at this point. The charge, we can go down there. There is an open comment that relates to topic number four. Tricia Lee, do you want to give a little background here and then we come back to it in the recommendation where we specifically talk about it? We can wait until we get there and then we address the comment that Tricia Lee made around this.
Sure, happy to do that. Let me expand my full comments and let folks read that while I talk. So as we've been going through this, this fourth charge identified policy and technology needs and considerations for direct-to-consumer medication services. I have some new concerns about the term direct-to-consumer medication services. That potentially it could invoke the negative connotations associated with direct-to-consumer advertising, that there's a lot of scrutiny on manufacturers and pharmaceutical industry on, allegedly trying to, be careful how I'm saying things, bypass the physician relationship in getting individuals to request certain prescriptions. So we're not assuming that there's nefarious intentions here, but we really are just trying to describe an area where there's just a lack of visibility on the prescriptions individuals are receiving. We have talked to individuals at Dime. I know Alexis had also suggested that we reach out to individuals there. And they shared some information that there might be some more industry acceptable terms that we can use to describe this area. And what was shared with us was it's called virtual first care. Let me see if I can share. I want to share that with you guys. Are you still seeing my screen? Let me see if I can. I can get the reshare to share this with you. Hold on.
It was Anna that suggested that. I don't know why everybody always confuses Alexis.
I don't know why either. And shame on us for being like so far into this process and we're still Anna and Alexising both of you. So apologies for that. Okay,
because we're both very well-spoken patient advocates with the letter A as the beginning of our names.
Right. So I want to thank, I reached out to Megan Coder, had conversations with Doug Mirsky and Abby Sugg at Dime, and they shared this as a concept. It's called virtual first care. It's a medical care for individuals or community accessed through digital interactions where possible, guided by a clinician and integrated into a person's everyday life. In particular, there is this framework, is this gonna show, that kind of has some components that fit what we're talking about here. It kind of covers the synchronous and asynchronous virtual interactions between an individual and a clinician. It also covers the prescription medication services that an individual might receive. And so I kind of included some notes in the document with some suggested language. I cannot make those edits on behalf of you all, but just a place to start in thinking about, can we and should we clarify that term some more, direct to consumer prescription services, by just describing the fact that what we're really talking about are these virtual care interactions. So I'll leave it there. I'll go back to the document for folks to kind of discuss, but I did want to share, I am having a bit of angst. I really don't want us to be putting out a document where it's perceived that we're coining a term or a phrase that might have some negative association to it. And so it's kind of the last hour here, but is there an opportunity for us to better clarify that term so that we're not being confused by those that read this document and work product?
Okay, we got several comments. So Stephen, then Christian, then Anna.
Yeah, I'm sorry. So Tricia, what part of this do you think would have a negative connotation?
The direct-to-consumer medication services, that term direct-to-consumer in the document, we've been calling it DTC. It just reads as though we're kind of coining a new phrase to this.
I mean, that's a pretty common phrase. I mean, direct to consumer advertising is something people have talked about for years. As I mentioned in the chat, The idea of sort of virtual first care is very popular. I mean, there's lots of digital health companies that are standing up similar services to the one that you were, you know, showing us. I don't personally see this as negative. I mean, we could perhaps flesh it out and talk about, you know, a list of for instances, but I don't think it's a problem as it is personally.
Christian. Thanks, Stephen.
Thanks, Shelley. As a pharmacist, these connotations are kind of hitting me a little weird too. I think it's a tough term to describe because we're not sure what we're really truly defining. As I go through the document, and this is just part of my perception of some of our recommendations, but I think it applies here too. When I hear something like direct to consumer, or for example, read some of the rationale that we've landed on with product locating, some of that really comes across in the pharmacy world as bypassing pharmacy or bypassing the pharmacist in the equation of care. And as I go back to our charge here, these recommendations are built to, you know, engage the pharmacy component of healthcare on the national healthcare IT infrastructure roadmap, and then and really try and get consumers more directly connected to the value and roles that pharmacists can play. So just the concept or the topic of direct indicates bypass. And I'm wondering if we can figure out throughout the document even where we can flip that a little bit into saying that there's an efficiency aspect to it. And there may even be, you know, it could be a prescription component, but it also could be, more of the telehealth engagement processes that we're typically using now to engage patients. And I guess that what I keep coming back to is, as long as we're not bypassing the role of the pharmacist in these relationships around both dispensing, but also provision of the services that the pharmacist provide, and we can dial into that, then I think we can come up with a better term for it. That's my gut, is that we're drifting a little bit to convenience and not enough towards putting the teams together in some of these recommendations. So, Tricia Lee, I know this is a tough call. I don't know what the term is because it's still an evolving model. But in the end, I just think about this also from my regulatory hat. It doesn't matter the construct, the expectations of pharmacists and engagement and oversight of these types of processes in pharmacy would be expected in any delivery mechanism that's being done. So we're defining basically a method of delivery, but it still has to have the components of not bypassing the pharmacist in the process. And that's helpful.
I'm sorry, Hans, go ahead.
Just to interject, if you can, at the same point in time as the other comments come in, can scroll to recommendation 38 that we can look at and consider. That's the one where we are talking to direct to consumer. And that's also the only one that addresses topic 4. So as we are discussing this, what kind of changes, this would be the place in the text to respond to it or to make some adjustments that we can have that in mind. So 38 is the one to keep in mind as we go through this. Anna.
I mean, I guess from my perspective, it's a relatively straightforward issue of nomenclature. I mean, direct to consumer, I do think is confusing. It does seem to suggest that there doesn't need to be a provider involved. What we're talking about, and I was confused about it when we first started discussing this, I wasn't completely sure what it meant, but what we're talking about is virtual first care. In essence, these companies and services are popping up that do the exact same thing that a physician would do. It's just they do it via telehealth and via online and to some degree asynchronous methods. And there is no in-person component. So there's a physician involved that's a prescriber. That's why they call it virtual first. And sometimes the virtual services are integrated with part of what we're doing, and again, I'm one of the founding members of MPACT, I'm on the steering committee, What we're trying to do is to come up with a set of standards and industry, you know, like guidelines and criteria for assessing the quality of care that helps these services integrate more seamlessly into the broader medical system. But all it's talking about is providers who prescribe things who don't have physical offices, they may have physical office, but that's not where they see their clients and their patients. So direct to consumer, I do think is misleading. And I think Trisha, it was smart of you to raise that, or helpful for you to raise that. But the term that everybody has landed on is called virtual first care. So I would suggest that we use that because that's where everybody is kind of landed.
Pooja.
Yeah, I put this in the chat, but I think when I look at this recommendation, I mean, all we're doing is convening stakeholders. So I wonder if we just call it either online pharmacy or online pharmacy services. I know Afton commented that could be considered, you know, there's some that are rogue as well. So I'm kind of posing this group. I don't know if these pharmacies have to be certified. So maybe we say online certified pharmacy or pharmacy services, because I think our recommendation, like, I don't think we need to, I agree we need to get rid of direct to consumer, but if all we're doing is convening at this point, I'm wondering if we're okay just calling them out as online pharmacies or online pharmacy services or both, since this is about convening that stakeholder.
But they're not just pharmacies. These are doctors who are doing care and they're ordering labs and they're, you know, following up, you know, regularly and getting counsel. So
is it all, I think if we put them in as one of the stakeholders, Anna, would you be okay with that recommendation?
And maybe along those lines, and Shelley, if I may point to it, what I did during the conversation is that the original question included the term direct to consumer. So I don't think we really can change the original question as it was part of the charge. But if we have in here, clarity that we use the term to tie it back easier to that, and we have indicated this is in response to topic four, use both terms, virtual care, telehealth providers, who include pharmacists, and then presumably they are authorized, licensed, et cetera. But then in a rationale, we are dropping the term direct to consumer. We may describe it a little bit further, but then in here, describe that that transition so that we are sensitive to not really propagating the term direct to consumer in its other context. Would that help?
And well, this is Shelley. One of the things I think we have to remember is what the intent is behind what ONC had made this as a recommendation. From a pharmacy interoperability standpoint, it'll be important for whoever is dispensing the medications on the pharmacy side are being able to share information in an interoperable way. That means that both that online pharmacy or virtual pharmacy or DTC, whatever you want to call it, is going to be interoperable and in the position to exchange information with others of the care team who are taking care of that patient. And I think that that's probably the biggest issue that we see with this, is that the patient can help in this by giving consent to share information about their care, and it's not siloed care. Are they using e-prescribing? Are they using the standards for exchange? Is there clinical information that they need, not only for the medications that are being dispensed, but also for assuring that those who are taking care of the patient are able to get that information from these operations? And I think that that's the intent, but what has turned out to be, and Tricia Lee, please help me clarify this, what's important is to get the point across that these are different, not in the mainstream of what we consider interoperability in relationship to pharmacy and pharmacists, but moreover, a separate type of entity that needs to be brought into the fold.
And, From a progression perspective, maybe, is that would it be okay? Is that we have a number of things that we need to get through? Is that while that we come back to this one later in the conversation once we have had a chance to go through everything else, and then in the meantime, one can look at 38, and if there are suggestions on how to improve the wording, or otherwise, that we come back to after we've gone through the rest. So otherwise, we run the risk of not getting to that. Would that be?
I'll also just add, while folks are looking at it, perchance 38, it's just too confusing to make the clarification there. Mike did inform that we have the ability to add a clarifying footnote to the charge task. So at this point, we cannot change the charge task itself. Number four, it's been voted on. We'd have to go back to the HITAC to do that, but we can clarify it. So just there are some options, and it's at your discretion the best way or where to put any clarifying statements.
Mike, go ahead. And then after that, let's then put this on the back burner for a moment. We go through the rest and we come back and see what, based on this, we can adjust when we get to 38.
This is Steve. I just want to put in a footnote for when we come back. We also probably want to include patients in the space as well, just because of what happens with yet another circle of sphere of sharing patient information and information blocking and the like, and who's controlling that information flow.
Thank you. Yeah. So if there are specific suggestions, then as we go through that you like to have, is that please annotate or make a comment on the 38, and we'll come back to it and see how we can improve the phrasing there. Plus, then consider the suggestion to have a footnote as well at the top to clarify the charge. So we'll come back to that. Okay. Shelley, anything else before we keep on going, and we'll pick this back up?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. So first one is that this is going to be a combination of some smaller and larger ones, but just to make sure that particularly from those that submitted the suggestion that they're okay with it. In the additional background, there was a suggestion to include caregiver, that makes sense, but also to use the term patient advocates. And this is the suggested updated wording. And just want to make sure that either Alexis and Christian, in context of your suggestion, that you're okay with that, and that we can then move to the next one, that I can hit the check mark.
I'm good.
Christian, you're fine too, that this addresses your...
Yeah, I think it was more editorial in nature, just trying to call out that we didn't really have a group of patients here reflecting on this. We had advocates. I was just trying to clarify that as a matter of who was in the room statement. Okay. But it's probably not a significant thing, but I think patient and caregiver advocates looks good. We can, okay. That will work. Great. Thank you.
Let's jump then to the next part, recommendations. That is primarily to highlight that we have been talking about definitions of providers. Pharmacist for provider, we specifically pulled from 42 USC 300 JJ, and that is also referenced in the 21st Century Cures Act final rule, the term healthcare provider. We pulled that from a document that ONC provides on where they tied these together. So this is the literal text from a ONC document in that regard. Any concerns with using this? This clearly pulls out the variety, including pharmacies and pharmacists in here that we then can use. We have pharmacist specifically defined. We have the pharmacy further defined, and we have other provider when we use that to indicate that we are then referencing.
Yeah, Hans, I just added one word there in the top paragraph, regulatory interpretations, because they also have different interpretations just in common speech. And since we're referencing the regulatory, I think that makes sense.
Makes sense. Any concerns with this on the both Stevens? I already hit the checkbox, but I can go back. And the provider definition, if not?
I think it makes sense.
That's done. There was a suggestion to clarify a little bit more on the pharmacist. And let's see, there is a note. There was a comment here because it's highlighted.
That was my addition, Hans, pulling from just some regulatory language in Missouri as an example of the prescriptive authority.
Any further concerns or comments around that?
I think it's a good addition.
Okay. Then if no further concerns, then we're done with that. We'll find our way to 38 back fairly rapidly at this pace, which then we have the rest of the time to look at that. Here, there was a suggestion from Alexis, if others did not quite see it, to add some more about patient and caregivers and transparency. We did have in the consumer engagement further statement around that initially, beef that up a little bit more to make that clear so that the consumer engagement full transparency is about everything that is relevant and appropriate, but now that's shared with the consumer engagement. So the suggestion was to not add it to bi-directional, but to make sure that consumer engagement is more clear. Alexis was okay with that, but want to make sure that everybody else is fine with that as well, that we keep that consumer engagement on transparency applicable to wherever needed, not just bi-directional. Not hearing any, then we are okay there. As a result, we made an update in full transparency. If you could scroll down a little bit further. Right there. That's where we further then clarify to make that more clear. As well as that there are a couple of other examples that were put in with various updates. So I want to make sure that we are okay with these bullets under consumer engagements. I believe, Alexis, you were okay with it, made most of the comments there. Want to make sure we didn't miss anything, and others as well. Christian.
I think that was, I still have a little bit of heartburn in that if we're not putting a recommendation in there that suggests the pharmacy can provide more relevant information regarding availability and the situation. I think that's so key in this particular arrangement to avoid assumptions and steerage issues. So I think we have to reference, that it has to be robust enough interchange to give a full, a full picture of when product may be able to be on hand, those types of things. Is that captured here or
not? Well, the intent here was to just capture the kinds of use cases we're talking about. In the recommendation, we certainly, particularly R11, is where that comes back in a couple of other places where transparency comes back in a number of places. This okay. recognizes that this is the use case. So in the recommendations, there are a couple of them that would reference both consumer engagement and bi-directional or other ones.
Okay, I'm content with that. Thank you.
All right. Any other comments on consumer engagement? And Christian, double check that this in the rest, but it did come up in a couple of places on transparency. If not, then I'm going to start to hit the checkbox on these ones around consumer engagement and then be able to look at the next one where we are talking about, I think that's the last one there. Yep, pharmacy quality measures. There were a couple of different comments on clarifying this that came from Christian, as you can see on the right-hand side, and VBC quality measures to see whether there were any other ones. There are clearly inside the recommendation. This time, I'm not sure exactly what the number was, but I thought it was, I'm not going to list it specifically. We'll get to it. Is that there are specific ones listed in the recommendations. This was just to give a flavor of the use case that we talked about. Wanted to make sure is that with these updates and a summary of some of the kinds of quality measurements that are more specific to VBC versus quality measures that are relevant in a pharmacist setting, regardless of whether it's in part of a VBC context or not. Want to make sure that these examples for that are reflective of those contexts because they are quality measures, but a different angle to it. And Pooja, you had a comment here I want to make sure if you're still on, because you're still on. You have to.
Yeah, I had just said that maybe Christian, it looks like Christian already went through and commented, so.
Yeah, I do have another example that we might be able to put in there.
If you want to, in suggestion mode, while I'm accepting these ones, if you want to put them in, and then we can come back to that once you've done that.
And okay.
Concern there. Any concerns with the existing ones as I'm hitting the checkbox? I'm not hearing any. So I'm just going to try to remove all the markup as we go. Okay, so we'll come back to that. And once Christian had a chance to give another example in there. Next comment is going to be, the next comments you're going to see are just trademarks. So don't worry about those. That's just pure edits. We go now to R27. In R27, there were comments made to remove some text, or not totally remove it, but move some text from the recommendation to the rationale. That's particularly the strike through that is highlighted here. That you might see that I'm highlighting that around there. That text was now incorporated as in this way in the text. So not at the start, but in the middle and this particular way. Plus that Phil had a comment to reference HTI1, recommendation 6 from HITECH, and that was included here. So here we want to make sure is that we met the intent from Phil, your recommendation, from the discussion last week on this.
Yeah, no issues from my side, Hans. This looks great.
Okay. Anything on the way that we put it, blended the text that was moved into the rationale? If not, then we are going to move along and get that other green out of the way. Next one, 38. Actually, I'm going to skip that. We're going to come back to it after we've gone through the rest, and others might have more chance to read through it and get some updates.
Christian, you have your hand up. Is that from an old one, or you still need to talk?
Yeah, no, you can. I'll lower it. Sorry, that was left over.
Okay, let's go to recommendation 12, R12. Here there are three recommendations, 12, 32, and 11, that were discussed. 12 and 11 were discussed as part of topic one, where we had extensive discussions around a variety of topics on availability of data, real-time to patients. R11, there was a lot of work done by Alexis, Afton, others to make updates to that. 12 was listed first based on the current sequence, and 11 is not until later. And 32 is somewhere in between. So they are a little bit spread out across the document based on the organization right now. So it initially appeared that we missed out on the discussions and the more detail that's provided in R11, which if you just want to jump to it, it is towards the end that is in play. It's, the page numbers are not totally clear, but it's the first one in quality measures. Tisha Lee, do you just want to scroll to that? It's, let's see how many pages down. Keep on going. It's, I'm not in display mode, so I'm not seeing the page numbers on mine. If you go a little bit further, as soon as you see quality measures popping up, it's well beyond this.
There you go.
So that's where really the main discussion were, because they really were around defining quality measures around this. So the question became is do we need to have all three, two of them, or can they all be combined into one? And suggestion would be is that R12, that clearly R11 is kept as is, that it's that it stays there. That R12 is much more focused on, albeit shorter, on a particular interoperability capability, and it's kept where it is. and that R32 that we will show that we'll go to in a little bit, that's the one that we're going to merge with R11. And when you look at this text here, that has taken the key components that are in 32 that were not yet in R11, that they were blended in here in both the recommendation and in the rationale respectively to make it fit. The references were actually all the same. So if you can look at that a little bit further, let's go back to
Before you do that, Hans, can you scroll down a little bit more? I want to see what the subtopics are after the rationale. So are you going to include, so you've included topic 1A and topic 2, but and the other one that was topic 1B also?
Let's see, that I then did not notice. I thought I had that. Let's check that, because that would then have to be moved, copied as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So
make that note to make sure that it's there. Okay. Actually, when you look at 32, I'm sitting in the wrong place here. Yep. So I'll take topic 2B and topic 2D. So topic 2D, 2B needs to move across, and then it's all merged together. I'm moving that around as we speak. So that is going to end up there. Is that? Yeah, so if you can look at that and see that as a result, when we get to 32 and 11, that they are now intended to be merged. And 12, as we're going to go back to our 12, is that that's intended to still stay on its own, because it's not quite about just quality measures. It's more about the capability. And see whether, as a result, that separation makes sense. If you can go back to 12 and we pick it up there. If you search for R12, it will get you right to
it. Yeah, it was, you were there, just up a little bit. I thought it was up.
Yeah, a little bit further up. It's actually before 13.
Right there. That's R12.
So that's the one that suggests is keep that on its own. Does not have all the discussion that were put in context of the measure, but copying it over here and merging them seem to be losing out of some of the discussion in R12. With that in mind, the updates, and I just see that Stephen also made an additional update as well. Is this then appropriate, and we can move forward with those suggestions as well?
Yeah, it's just not just the response that may be inefficient. The entire communication may be inefficient.
Any concerns, Alexis? Good with this? As you raised the question to make sure that we did not miss the duplication or kept them apart.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to mark this one. Any concerns with what Stephen just put in? I'm going to accept that. Okay, having not heard any other ones. All right. We'll come back to the 32 and R11 merge in a moment, we can then look at that and make sure we got it. Here, there was also a thought, can we merge 13 and 14? And if it's possible on the screen to show 13 and 14 mostly together, or at least there you go. Yeah, that's a suggestion from Alexis to consider. That is the, if they are duplicates to merge them together. Looked like they were still addressing different perspectives. So my suggestion was to keep them apart. So want to get from the task force overall, do we want to keep them apart, or should we work on it and we can do that separately, that we still merge them? Any preference? Have a look through it, and then And while you do that, Christian, I see that you have something in the chat. Is that meant to...
Those are the use cases. Yeah, those are the use cases. I don't have access to the document.
Okay. Good.
Just maybe a few of those might be good examples. You don't have to put all of them in.
What I'm going to do while others are reading this one, I'll see whether I can get the text and drop that into use case nearby as a comment. Oh my, doesn't work. Okay, no. Any on Summer? Go ahead on 13 and 14.
Thanks, Hans. I was just kind of reading through them, and I do think maybe it does make sense to combine the two. And the main reason is, you know, in 13, the recommendation is to give information about why a prescription hasn't been filled, which, you know, it makes me lean more into communication. It's a conversation about why it hasn't been filled. Where I went back and forth in my head, and maybe others can weigh in, is, you know, it would make sense to keep it separate only if it's automated transaction. So like if it's a specific sort of question and response where a data element comes back, a prior auth required or step therapy required, something like that, that's why it hasn't been filled. I think in that scenario, it makes sense to keep it separate because it's a structured response, you know, a transactional response versus, you know, an unstructured response of, you know, having a conversation, why it wasn't filled, that kind of thing. So I don't know if that was the intent in keeping them separate. One is transactional and one is more sort of freeform communication. But if they're both meant to be more freeform, I think combine them. If the distinction is one is transactional and one is freeform, then I think it makes it make sense to be separate.
And I think that was a little bit as I was interpreting, reading it, that came across a little bit more like a good distinction to still keep them apart because they're different parts, although they're very related. So keep them next to each other.
I guess I should say I'm kind of like arguing with myself as I'm sort of sharing that. When I read the rationale, right, it says, quote, there's an insurance issue or, quote, more information is needed from your provider. So based on the description here, I'd say combine them because it's really more about a conversation. It's sort of free text, so to speak. So I don't know if that's the clarification in the rationale for 13 that we need to discuss, if people feel like it should be transactional and more clear. You know, step therapy required, prior auth required, non-formulary as a standardized response. So I think the way the two are written now, maybe just to be clear, the way the two are written now, I think they should be combined.
What else, Anna? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and I included these, and again, I put this in the chat, but I've not been able to really read the documents all that well because I had a retinal bleed a few weeks ago. I'll be fine. It's just temporary while the blood's still in the vitreous. But the two are distinct in my mind in the sense that the first one, R13, was based off of the fact that many times when after I've waited on hold for literally hours and or been forced to go into the pharmacy. Like if you go in the pharmacy, the pharmacist can print out more specific information about what the issue is as to why the medication has not been filled. Whereas the only information even on the app just basically just says there's an insurance issue, but the pharmacist actually has in a structured form that the pharmacist can print what the insurance issue is. That's just not shared with me, where, you know, that information could be helpful if I have to make a phone call to the insurance company to get clarified or a phone call to the doctor. For reasons I don't understand, that information is never shared through the app or the portals. And that would be a very simple thing to require. So if the pharmacist has some sort of structured information in their portal, that information should be shared with the patient in case there's some sort of action that needs to be taken. I mean, it would just literally would save me hours and hours of time just to be able to get that information. The second one is that there's no way to communicate to the pharmacist via the app. It may be related to the the recommendation I had about like making sure that any data that's available to a pharmacist in a structured form is also available to the patient. It may be something else, but right now it's just one-way messaging and a coded format. So the only way that you can get through and find out or like provide any additional information. So for instance, there's one medication that's frequently switched. It's, you know, quote unquote generic. There's a big difference in the generics. Inevitably, they will fill the wrong one. I now know the ADC codes. There's no way for me to communicate back to the pharmacist that they have once again filled, automatically switched against my wishes, against the caregiver's instructions, to the wrong medication, you know, the wrong version, wrong NDC code of the, or NCD code of the generic. I have to then wait on hold for a couple of hours potentially, or go into the pharmacist to stand in line and tell them you have once again made a mistake, you've given the wrong medication. So, I mean, that's just one example. I could think of others if I had more time, but they're related, but I consider them to be distinct.
Well, we have a couple others, Christian, then Scott, and then Alexis, and then see whether we can wrap it up into a split or keep them separate or combined. Christian.
Yeah, just to follow on Alexis' comments, I understand the interest in understanding what's going on, just maybe for clarity. The process or messages that return to the pharmacies around these delays and hiccups in processing a claim are often, they're pretty limited, and they're determined almost entirely by the payer in terms of the free text, but they can also be fairly cryptic. You know, the recommendation is okay to be separate in my mind, but we may want to refine it to focus a little more on if we're going to go down this path, that the clarity and detail level of the response from the processor and or the ultimate payer be and consumer friendly and appropriate detailed language. So that's going to be the infrastructure build, I think, is if that's the expectation. There's going to be a lot of work behind it to get payers to start providing more information through the pharmacy and even directly to the consumer.
Just to know that it was Anna, not Alexis.
I am so sorry, but I've joined the club now.
Okay, you're not alone. Everyone seems to keep doing that. I keep getting all the credit for Alexis's good ideas, but she gets blamed for the ones that are probably not as good. So,
and perhaps also from the comment that I made so far from Christian and from Anna and Summer is that if 13 is more on the information is shared, and 14 is there is now an interactive communication as follow-up because of that or otherwise, that's really, if we can make that distinction better, there's a good reason to keep them apart. If they blend together, then try to blend them together. But if we can make the distinction, one is informational, provided, and then I need to be able to follow up with questions, or I just have questions, and that needs to be there. Alexis?
Yeah, I was just going to say that I'm fine with keeping them separate as long as we change some of the language. There's just a lot of duplicative, language about the communication process. So I think that we could probably just rewrite them both to clear that up and make the distinction better. And then I think it makes sense if you want to keep them separate. But I also did just want to add, in kind of sitting here and rereading recommendation 14 and listening to what Anna was saying, there are pharmacies that do have two-way communication via an app. It's just not universal. And so perhaps we rewrite something that says, you know, to make this kind of a suggest a mandatory or universal process for pharmacies that do have apps to allow the two-way communication. I wouldn't word it that it's not there, because it is for some.
Okay.
I have a problem with the word require, because there is no regulatory requirement that ONC can put on pharmacies for this. So I think we should use what was just said by Alexis, that we look at it more of a suggestion because there's nothing in the standards, unless there's spill status that is available, but it's still, I'm worried about the word require from a regulatory standpoint. I don't know, Tricia Lee, if you want to say something on that. Sorry, my dogs are barking.
What we can do is based on these comments, is that with a couple of folks that we tried to see how we can keep it more clear on what the distinction is, and then remove the duplicative aspects of it. But clearly understood is that these are only recommendations. Required might be a stronger word than we can use, and looked at that as well. What I'm trying to figure that out is that we will not get this paper maybe right now, but that we make some updates after the meeting, and that we let everybody know as soon as it's an update is out there, to look at that and see whether there's any further refinement that needs to be done. I don't think that requires a follow-up meeting, but that it's just a clarifying the language that is there. I'm not hearing disagreement on the essence of the multiple points, but rather, is it best organized in one or two? Is that a reasonable way to move forward? And then I'm going to particularly reaching out to those that just commented today on that to make sure that it captures that. Any concerns with moving on? So we have a little bit of a follow-up.
I know that David had made a suggestion related to R13 and 14. I don't know, David, if you want to explain that.
Sure, I'll be glad to. I can have it, if you leave it as two, that's fine. But it does seem to me that the purpose of R14 is to accomplish R13 among many other purposes. And so I would suggest, and my suggestion in the box, sorry for all the typos in it, but I would take the opening sentence of recommendation R14 that ends with to facilitate two-way communication between the pharmacy and the patient. And I would just extend that to say, in order to improve patient care through greater pharmacist-patient caregiver interaction for such needs as, and then create a list of needs. And number one would be, the first on the list would be R13, because that's what we're really trying to do, is improve the overall two-way communication in order to accomplish R13, which is to allow provision of specific information, as well as to allow improved assessment by the pharmacist on the patient, as well as allow the patient to make sure they're getting their medications as quickly and as safely and as conveniently as possible. So I would think we could just extend the phrasing on R14 with that clause that I mentioned, and then add 13 and possibly several others underneath it.
Thank you. Yeah, let's take this with the other comments, and that we work with it to find out is that the easiest then to combine it as you indicate, or more clearly separate the two parts of sharing information, informative versus the interaction of communicating back and forth on whatever it is that might be at hand, including R13, the information that has been shared. I think that's where the part comes in. It's not clear in either one or the other direction, but it encompasses everything that we just talked about. So let's work through that, because that requires a little bit more wordsmithing and construction to pull that together. And we'll let everybody know that it has been updated to get final feedback on that.
Hans, just a question. Are the majority of people thinking of combining it or keeping it separate? I don't know if we've come to that agreement.
What I was hearing was is that it can be okay if it's separate, if it's clear. It can be okay if it's well combined. So I did not hear a clear one way or the other, as long as the points are more easily understood.
Okay.
If that's a fair interpretation of what the discussion was.
I can live with that.
Any objection from anybody on that? Then we can just put two next to each other after we work them and figure out which one we're going to use. Okay, let's then move on to R32, a couple of pages down. This is the one that when we started with R12, that had some relationship to it. The suggestion here is to combine it with R11. So if you look at R32, at the statement made here for a moment, and then we're going to jump to R11 to make sure that the intent of 32 has been included and preserved in R11. And then we can wrap up R11 as well at that point. So have a look at that.
Which category is R32 under?
32 is under specific interoperability capabilities of particular interest.
Okay.
And R is about quality measures. So let's look at that. And then the highlighted text or the marked up text, there are two parts to it. There is the overall purple text is what was lifted from R32 to make sure that R11 addresses 32. And then there is a second question is that there are two suggestions that were somewhat different. One is to use the term "dare," can fill dare prescriptions, and that it's applicable to any. And the other suggestion is to use the term "urgent" to have a subset of prescriptions where this is particularly focused at. So we have two questions. Is the purple reflective of 32? And we got it. And the second is, should we use "dare" or should we use "urgent," which is a subset of prescriptions? Anna.
Sorry, I was on mute. Who defines urgent? The amount of time that it took for me to get access to my prescriptions so that I could go on a 2-week vacation was insane. Would any of those particular medications be considered urgent? I mean, you know, would I die without them that day or the next day? No, but I needed them urgently so that I could leave, even though I'd started working on that, you know, the process 4 weeks prior. So I don't know what the word urgent actually serves because it's relative.
So your suggestion would be to go with dare because that is more inclusive of the variety that it could occur with.
Yeah, if you take a medication daily and it you can't get it, it's kind of urgent. Otherwise, you wouldn't need to take that medication.
And maybe with that, is there anybody and that is concerned if we would use the term "dare" because that might be the easier discussion then to have? Anybody objects if we instead of urgent use "dare"?
Christian.
Yeah, it's not necessarily an objection. I think, you know, this whole recommendation, both it being a value-based quality measure, as well as a convenience measure, as well as my comments earlier, I'm still struggling to dial it in so that it doesn't just become the vague definition, anybody can define urgent, right? So the comments just made are relative as urgent is, in that who gets to decide it's urgent. But so I don't know that I don't know we have the best verbiage here, but at a higher level, I'm still struggling with it even being a quality measure recommendation because there's so many other factors that get involved in this and many that are out of the control of the pharmacy. So I keep coming back to it's really a communication conversation. So if we're doing quality measures, we should be talking about quality measure that measures how efficiently and appropriately, you know, just how well the pharmacy engages with the patient, which is ultimately going to lead to better overall care. But So that's what I'm struggling with, not necessarily the urgent part, just the fact that there's a quality measure on convenience. I'm not sure that's appropriate recommendation.
Yeah, and noting that this recommendation that indicated value-based incentive structure was developed this way by the subgroup. So that's where we sit right now.
Yeah, I may be an outlier, and I understand that, but you know where I stand.
Yeah, it's going to be a little bit hard to make that level of change at this stage, given the discussions that have occurred. David?
Well, my thought on it is that the real measure here, we do need to make this so that there's a way to capture data about it, and there is a way to use that data to improve all aspects of the pharmacy, whether it's the immediate prescription or something that's more delayed or something that's held up or anything. So to me, the key phrase here is that's most important is we need to make sure we agree on in a manner that optimizes patient care and convenience. And so, which I'm comfortable with that phrase, but what I'm leading to is I would actually change this to say, I would take their urgent and I would replace that with all prescriptions, the word all, so they can fill all prescriptions in a manner that optimizes patient care and convenience. And that way we've given a charge to build a system that truly monitors all aspects of the pharmacy, and then what and ways to do that can then be built out from that.
That almost would then say is that just drop both words and just fill prescriptions that would cover any kind.
Well, I thought about that. That seems a little softer than using the word all, but we could just make it prescriptions if we want it more succinct. I just thought that we want to capture every aspect.
I'm hearing then that either they're all or nothing, and I'm seeing in the text that all is fine. Is anybody objecting to that? That we're making it all prescriptions to enhance on that?
All is fine.
Let's ask Pooja what she had her hand up.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't tell if my hand was raising or not. I think it's going back to the urgent discussion. I know there's some kind of urgency used in electronic prior authorization, and I know that's defined somehow. I just don't know if there's someone on this call that may know that better. But I wonder if there's some way, you know, if we do want to keep urgent in the document. I know it's like when the prior authorization rules came out from, I think it was from CMS, there was some kind of urgent term defined. I apologize, I'm not at my desk, so I can't look it up right now, but.
Well, Pooja, that's kind of why I was thinking about making sure the word all is in there. And I like what you said, if we could include the urgent somewhere in the text, so that all includes the urgent, the routine, you know, basically everything.
Yeah, so we may want to look at how prior auth, because I think in the electronic prior authorization that is defined somewhere.
I think all is fine. This discussion. There, you know, I put in a chat that we have to remember that a pharmacy doesn't get to choose where patients get their meds, and pay, it's usually payer interest that route the manufacturers that route patients to different pharmacies, or and including CMS's Shop Your Pharmacy every year logic. So there's a lot of the word all. If the expectation will be all, then no pharmacy could actually achieve that. So we just have to clarify that it may be more of a communication about where or that patients have access to the drugs, whether one pharmacy or another is doing it. So it really kind of maybe gets into transactions like med history and visibility for any given pharmacy to be able to know where that a patient is on, say, a list of 10 drugs. They may be filling three of them, but they can see that they are getting the other two, the other seven somewhere else. you know, that's a thorny topic, but that's really what we're driving at. If we say quality measure, patients have product in hand, pharmacy has a responsibility to know that or facilitate that. We're talking about back to it, communication, visibility, not the actual dispensing of the medication.
So given the discussion, is then this update to use all prescriptions and include routine to urgent to make sure that there is no confusion around that? Is that a workable way to move forward that we can live with? And I'm going to go with not hearing any, that we are okay with that. Are we then also okay that this is a reasonable merge of 32 into 11 as well, and that we can then strike 32 by just putting it in here? This is then plus R32, and we remove it from the top, and we accept all the changes here. Is that acceptable? Any concerns?
We'll just take a quick additional look at 32.
We can go back to that, and it's the purple from here that was lifted from 32.
Okay.
If I can, Hans, just from the chat, Margaret Weicker from NCPDP states that there is an indicator in the script standard. There is a CMS notice of proposed rule regarding prior authorization as it includes timeframes.
Right.
So that might be the place to look for it in terms of CMS.
Okay. Alexis, and then we have to start to close this out. We have a few more to go, and we need to go back to 38 in about 10, 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'm fine with either word that gets used instead of urgent, but I do think that for me, using the word all makes an assumption that, and I think that's what David was just talking about, makes an assumption that you're going to get all of them in one place. And so that's why I think there sounds better, but I'm fine with it either way. But I also wanted to point out that whichever word you go with needs to be changed in the purple in the rationale as well.
Yeah. I was just doing it in one spot to make sure what it meant like. Okay. Any other comments? If not, then these are going to be accepted and we're going to remove 32 above. Hold on, I just need to get this in the right place. This is the fun part, checking out boxes. Okay, and then back to 32 that I'm going to then remove. Okay, so let's move on then to R4. There was a comment made in here to consider merging R4 and R9. They were very similar. And the text below it, if you scroll down a little bit more, we are at R4 and R9. Let's see there. And you scroll down, there should be below R9 in green, there should be markup that is the combined. And effectively, it just took the two together. There you go, it's purple on yours. That is the combined text. So I want to have just a reassurance that we didn't miss anything between the two. And then that would be the recommendation. One instead of two. They both talked about PPRL. One included tokenization. The other one could have included as well. So by the time you were done blending the text, seem to make a lot more sense. Give a moment to look at it and see whether there are any concerns with that. Not hearing any. If I'm going to go too fast with wanting to check the boxes off, I will just start with striking this out at that point in time and keeping this one. Last call. Looks like we can go ahead and remove that. And then we have this. So next, R24. There was a comment from Phil to reference the high-tech recommendations, in this case, 4 and 6. Same as what we talked about then before, but now we just include 4 and 6 in here. Phil, that I believe is addressing your concern, but just to make sure.
Also good with this one, Hans.
Okay, got that. That means that we are at 19. The comment on 19 was that the rationale was not clear, unclear what that actually meant. So a bit of reconstructing that has occurred. Alexis, you were the one who raised that. So I want to make sure that that from your perspective, did we catch it? And anybody else, whether that is okay. 19 is a little bit, there you go. Any, just did this do the trick, or do we need more work on this?
Well, it makes sense now. The wording just didn't make sense before to understand okay. What the concept was.
All right, anybody else? If not, then we are going to accept that. Almost there. And that means that we're just about to go to the last ones as we get a space in here as well. That means that we got to the end where in R33, there was the statement here, other outcome-focused measures. And there was a note there that David was going to provide a couple of examples. I'm not sure, David, whether you had a chance to look at that. But if you have any that you can forward, then we can still put them in.
I will be glad to do that. I thought I did forward them, but yes, I'll
put them in. Okay, great. And then we got that. As a quick note, we have a list. Thank you, Stephen, for fixing that one. We have a list of abbreviations here. They probably should be everything, or they should be everything, but they might not be. If you find anything, please let us know.
I think so, you have to scroll down, Trish, whoever is
all there. All the way down to the bottom. Sorry, I went to mine. It's about to be. There. So if you have any other ones that were in the text that were missed, just mark them. We're going to check it out, but if you find them, just put them in. So we're going to go back to R38 first.
Before you do that, on that, what was it, R14 combination? Not R14.
13 and 14.
The one you combined that was in purple.
That was 11 and 32.
Yeah. Did you make sure that we have the questions and use cases combined?
Yeah.
Okay. I just wanted to double check on that.
Yep.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. 38. There we go. So this is back to our virtual or telehealth and direct to consumer. I don't see any additional suggestions at this point in time. So I think the question is that adding the footnotes, one of the two that Tricia Lee suggested, to clarify the charge all the way up in top of the document, and then in here, using the term direct to consumer, but then extended with virtual care or telehealth, and in the rationale only referencing virtual or telehealth, will that be sufficient to make sure, in combination with the footnote above, that we are talking of the right scope? Or do we think we need to have additional text in here, like the one that Tricia Lee is showing on the right? because this would be the footnote that would go all the way on the top. Could add it here as well, but on the top it would provide the right context that then introduces this. So we still would use the term direct to consumer, but not as DTC uppercase, and we would effectively switch into virtual or telehealth, and making it clear that it includes pharmacists.
So Han, is the discussion here, I mean, is the what we're trying to capture reflective of siloed or disconnected care models, where the, you know, the primary care arrangement is, this is outside the primary care arrangement, or is it broader than that? I think we may want to think about that distinction.
Probably both, in that where this occurs, it may be because it is outside the other regular care team and you want to have them connected. It is different in that the patient may not have seen the provider in person. I think it's a combination that was discussed here.
Yeah, so, well, and I think the term could be dialed in if we really see it as conceptually this something care other than through the primary kind of patient care arrangement, or, you know, disconnected care, or where there is no provider available. And if that's a distinction we can make, we can probably find a better term for it. If it's too muddy, then my recommendation wouldn't work.
Yeah, that is sort of a new distinction, sort of care separated from the established care team. It's, you know, all the other terms we use, you know, whether virtual, telehealth, et cetera, don't get into that question so much as the mechanism or the location where the care is provided.
Yeah, and the question then also becomes, where do you draw the line of what is the established care team? Is there a record of that is agreed to, that's the care team? And if then I, as the patient, go somewhere else, that's not part of the care team, even though from my perspective, they are, it's just I'm going somewhere else. So that might.
Yeah, it's a whole new discussion we haven't really gotten into.
Yeah.
Well,
Scott, go ahead.
This is Scott Robertson. And actually keeping that in mind and using your second suggestion, rather than say from a virtual care provider who is not a member, it's whether or not that virtual care provider is part of the primary care team. So yes, everything we've discussed has been, you know, we've had this concept of the primary care team that we've never really actually defined. But what we're trying to do here is point out that there are, you know, there could be good or bad reasons or good or bad situations where I contact, you know, I go on some website and fill out a form and get a prescription mailed to me. And that needs to be incorporated in with everything else about that patient. The primary care provider and others need to know about it. So if it's whether, you know, if they're not part of the primary care team, then they need, if it's a virtual provider outside the normal care team, then it needs to be included in that patient's overall longitudinal health record.
We have two in line, Alexis and Anna, and we have the public comment that starts in 15 seconds or less. So why don't we go to public comment, then we come back and try to get to a conclusion of can we accept what we have here, because we don't have time for a larger discussion at this point, and then we can wrap up one other thing. So we'll come back after the public comments. Michael.
All right. Thanks, Hans. Thank you. We're going to open up our meeting for verbal public comment. If you're on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you happen to be just on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand. And once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your lines. So let's pause just for a moment to see if any members of the public would like to make a comment. Not seeing any hands raised at this point, Hans, so I'll turn it back to you.
Well, and I thought that Alexis, you had your hand raised before, Anna, you dropped it. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just didn't want to take up too much time before the public comment. I mean, I think a lot of what I've been sitting here thinking was also just said by Scott. but I wanted to elaborate a little bit more. I think that when, you know, when someone is reading virtual care, I mean, that can be, you know, thinking that's virtual care within your health system, right? With whether it's your primary care or a specialist within a certain healthcare system or network. And so I wonder if there's a way that we can word it, not the suggestion of outside of primary care team, because certainly anybody you choose to see is then part of your own care team, but something that signifies that it's outside of the general healthcare system, like the way we normally receive healthcare, whether it's in person or virtual. And I don't know what that wording is, but I think it's beyond virtual or telehealth, because again, that could be with someone who is, you know, generally part of your care team already in a healthcare system. Is what I'm trying to say makes sense?
Yeah, that starts to sound like something like this, beyond the traditional healthcare system, but is that too big? So while we think about that, what that word is, Anna, go ahead.
Yeah, so part of what I'm having a hard time with is really understanding what the issue is like, I don't, first of all, like, I don't know what the primary healthcare system is anymore. I mean, I don't have a primary care provider. I have a bunch of specialists. So, and, you know, most of them are at different institutions. So they're still not really sharing information well, but hopefully with all of the work that many of us have been doing over the years, that's changing. But like, these are not necessarily doctors that are outside of the quote unquote healthcare system. They're just ones who aren't physically located in your city that you go to their office to see. You work with them or a team that, you know, maybe in some cases, especially for the diabetes related ones, the people that you're working with are a combination of endocrinologists, certified diabetes educators, nurses, et cetera, just like you would with an endocrinologist that you went to see in your, you know, in your hometown. So it's more, it's not a difference in care, except that maybe you don't have somebody taking your vital signs. It's an interest in the modality through which you get care. So the informational needs that those providers have are really no different than the informational needs of like your traditional providers. It's just, it's an issue of modality. And, you know, as I've been referenced a couple of times, you know, I have an endocrinologist who's, you know, he's quote unquote local, but it's an hour drive. I haven't seen him in person since the pandemic began. And it's fine. It's still the same provider. He would not be considered virtual first, but the care that I would get from him is no different than the care, you know, in this instance is no different from the care that I would get if I just went to a virtual care, virtual first care endocrinologist. So it's really, again, and I realize that for some disease areas, it probably feels a little more like a medication dispensing system, such as like erectile dysfunction drugs or birth control. It's probably a little bit different, but the modality is still the same, or the modality is different, but the care needs, the care interactions are still the same.
Thank you. Yeah, and Shelley.
I think we have to remember that this isn't as if you're, especially from a payer standpoint. So the patient is reaching out to a different provider, not necessarily within the same insurance type of payer model. But the problem is the virtual location doesn't necessarily have the regulatory requirement, just as all pharmacies do, to interact with other providers. And therefore, the patient has to put some requests on those providers to share their information, I guess, consent, because it's not part of the referral process. It's something that the patients are doing on their own, going directly to and directly to that provider that isn't necessarily within the same network of their current caregiver, their current care team members.
And I, looking at the clock, unfortunately, and I apologize for having to do that, we only have about 4 minutes left. Is there any way in which we can add a very short reference or a term? Sounds so far that we cannot arrive on that. And therefore, are we comfortable that we leave it with the updates included in here? Do we leave it at is plus the footnote? Or if we cannot get to a consensus on this, do we have to drop this? In other words, is that it doesn't seem like we want to drop this, but that we are not able to come up with a much clearer term of what that group of providers is that we're missing, without struggling what how to reference them.
Maybe we say out of the current network of providers.
Yeah, I think that's the part, is that whose network is the insurance network? Is it my care team? To me, they are still part of my care team. I think that's where we're struggling. So I'm not sure whether we can find a term. If somebody still has something over the next time, that would be great. But are we comfortable moving forward with this in the absence of that term?
What about just saying like non-traditional care settings?
I think we're still missing the point that it's the consumer, the patient is going directly to some other type of provider that is out, that is not communicating with other providers that they're usually working with from a safety standpoint.
So in that sense, I do like Anna's suggestion, because that it points to some, it's a group that is not that the ones that we are typically thinking of. And beyond that, it's going to be hard because they're part of my care team. They might not be part of the insurance network, but it might not be part of the health system that I see 90% of the other time. But so in that sense, I'm not sure where the non-traditional is the right word. Offsite non-traditional providers, et cetera. Can we work with this a little bit more offline? I know we have the deadline of next week. It needs to go to HITECH. But unless there is a better word that we can go with in non-traditional care settings, any concerns from others so that we have something, but we're not still... not sure whether it's accurate enough.
Anna?
Yeah, I mean,
it's, make it short.
Yes. None of my quote unquote traditional care providers communicate with one another. So I don't think that this particular group is any different than that. If there's a communication, it's because I asked them to communicate directly or I share the information from one to the other. So that's kind of a false distinction at this point. And secondly, insurance companies do cover these services. I mean, there's a high rate of coverage of many of these services by insurance companies. So it really is just an issue of modality and setting for care rather than other aspects. It's just, am I going to somebody's office at some point before I do telehealth, or am I just doing it all virtual?
Yeah, and I think this is just where we're struggling, that we just are running out of time right now. So I think we have to leave it with this. If somebody comes up with something that is short and can fit in here that describes that in a clear term, please forward that. But other than that, I think we have to leave it with this and recognize that this area remains as murky and challenging as it is, because of just the pure nature of it. It is not clearly defined what it is.
Well, we're at the top of the hour, so.
So with that in mind, is that a couple of the follow-ups that are occurring, Christian provided in the chat, but we will pick up a couple of the use or examples for quality measures use case in that space. We are gonna have the footnotes that is gonna come up in the charge. We have the merging of 13 and 14 that we are running offline. And this is the last one. If somebody has a term that can still go in there, we absolutely welcome it. And then over the next couple of days, we'll send it out, make sure that there is nothing else left. And then it will be on its way to the HITECH. But Shelly, if you can wrap it up further, it would be great.
Yeah, we'll have a task force meeting on November 1st, hopefully we could just wrap everything up, get a thumbs up from everyone, and I don't know. We'll work with the ONC team to see if we can, if we have to go to a shorter meeting, what that would mean. Okay.
All right. Appreciate it. We got just about to the finish, and we'll get that done in time to have a complete document and a set of recommendations for the HITECH. And thank you for all the input, discussion. We're going to run through the chat, see where there's anything else that we need to include to fine-tune it, and let us know if anything else comes up.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.